Hey, this is Ethan Uslin. Happy New Year, and welcome to the Carolina Shout Podcast, the show where I play piano for you and I yap about the music in between the songs. It has come to my attention that most popular podcasts are about true crime, not about ragtime, true crime. So I think it's about time we jump on that bandwagon. So today we're going to do a blood-soaked, cadaverous episode about real songs, about real murders. First up, I have a song for you about the infamous Aaron Harris. This song was recorded in the 1930s by Jelly Roll Morton, but it goes way back to the 1910s. Aaron Harris was a pimp and a gambler and killed a grand total of about 25 people. 25! He was definitely a bad, bad man, no two ways about it. Most of his victims were folks who beat him in gambling, and instead of paying up, he just killed them. He also killed two police officers, and his own sister, and his brother-in-law. But he never stayed in jail for very long, because no jury would convict him. He always got off. And that was because he had a hoodoo woman, aka a voodoo woman, who used her voodoo magic and spells to silence the witnesses. Her name was Madame Papaloose, and she'd go to Aaron Harris's house. She'd take all the sheets off the bed, tumble the mattresses over, put sheets in front of the windows, take chairs and tumble them all over. And that's said to discourage the judge from prosecuting. And she'd get lamb's tongues and beef tongues and veal tongues from the market and stick them full of needles. And that would silence the jurors. And it worked. But it couldn't protect Aaron Harris from another tough guy who went by the name of Boar Hog. So, here's the Aaron Harris song. And I am pleased to announce that Gina Marie is back, and she will be singing for us today. Gina Marie is in Chicago, but I sent her an MP3 of my piano playing, and she sent it back with her singing. Let's see what Miss Gina has to say about that man, Aaron Harris.
Night to play a gambling game. store one night to play a gambling game. When old Bull Hawk shot him, they blotted out his name. That was the baddest man I'd ever seen. Boy, that man was terrible. That man would chew pig iron and spit it out into razor blades. And chew the... I'm telling you, he'd chew glass up if it was necessary. Same thing that would cut a hog's entrails out. He's a tough man, Aaron Harris was. He was no doubt the toughest.
Ooh, Gina, you're sending chills up my spine. That Aaron Harris was indeed a very, very bad man. And if I ever saw him coming around, I'd hightail it in the other direction. And when Jelly Roll Morton first recorded his version of the Aaron Harris song, he said that he'd been winning in pool against some guy he didn't recognize for a couple nights in a row. And Jelly Roll was taking his money. Jelly Roll was a pool hustler, and he had found a sucker. But then someone took Jelly aside and said, "Hey, that sucker of yours, that's Aaron Harris." So after that, Jelly Roll quit while he was ahead, and he stopped gambling with Aaron Harris. He stopped gambling with his life, which was a pretty good move. Reminds me of the time I was at Barnes & Noble, and it turned out I was playing Scrabble with the Zodiac Killer. His name was really Sam Raymond, but they called him the Zodiac Killer because he liked to play the word Zodiac on the triple word score. True story. Okay, enough joking around. Back to the music about true crime. And now I'd like to perform with Gina Marie once again another famous African-American murder ballad. This one is called Stagger Lee. And it's been recorded many times through the years by many different artists. And many versions are very different from each other because this is a song that circulated far and wide through oral tradition. The story behind the Stagger Lee song is pretty simple. On Christmas Day in 1895 in the city of St. Louis, Missouri, a man named Lee Shelton, nicknamed Stagger Lee, shot and killed Billy Lyons in a saloon. In most versions of the song, the following details are consistent. The two men are gambling, they start arguing, and Billy Lyons takes Stagger Lee's Stetson hat, and Stagger Lee shoots him dead. What's interesting to me about this song is how Stagger Lee's badness gets exaggerated. In real life, he killed a guy, got arrested, and was convicted, and he went to prison. Now that's bad, don't get me wrong. But in the song, his badness reaches mythical proportions. In the song, he's so bad that the police are often too afraid of him to arrest him. In the song, the devil himself is afraid of him. In real life, Stagger Lee was a bad man, but in the song, he was a no good, scary, horrible, very bad man. Sing it, Gina.
Set I'm going to that
Dagley went to the barroom and he stood across that barroom door. Said nobody move, and he pulled his 44. Billy Lyon told Dagley, "Oh, please don't take my life. I got 3 helpless children, 1 poor pitiful wife. Don't care nothing about your children and nothing about your wife. You done took my hat and I'm bound to take your life." He shot him 3 times in the shoulder and 3 in the side. And the last time he shot him caused Billy Lyon to die. The sheriff told deputy, "Get your pistol and come with me. We got to go get that bad man, Dagley." Dagley went round the corner and they shot Stack in his side. Dagley stumbled over and he died. Dagley, he told that devil, said, "Come on and have some fun. You stick me with your pitchfork, I'll shoot you with my 41. Stackley took that pitchfork, he laid it on the shelf, said, "Stand back, devil, gonna rule hell myself."
So that was Dagley, sung by Gina Marie. That sure was an eventful night for Dagley. He starts out gambling, then one thing leads to another, and next thing you know, he usurps the devil to become the ruler of the netherworld. And now, Gina and I have one more murder song for you, but first, it has come to my attention that many of you listeners might be thinking, "Gee, this is an unusually grisly podcast episode for the Carolina Shout. High body count today. Gee, Ethan, can you lighten things up a bit?" Well, I'm sorry, people, you can't have a murder ballad without a murder. But, you know, if you want a crime song where nobody gets hurt, I could write one for you. In fact, I was just looking at a newspaper column called News of the Weird, and I came across a crime that does not involve murder, and I wrote a song about it. So let me first read you the newspaper article that inspired me. Kai, a 28-year-old man in Liang Yungang, Jiangsu Province, China, had plenty of time to consider traffic patterns as he waited for the lights to change during his daily commute. So much, in fact, that he decided to take matters into his own hands. On September 27th, he painted new traffic arrows on the roadway. A traffic camera captured the whole project as Kai carefully added a straight arrow to the existing left turn and U-turn arrows. "I saw the straight lane, and it was always packed with cars, while the turning lane had a lot of space," Kai told police. "So I thought changing the signs would make my commute smoother." The BBC reports that police fined Kai the equivalent of about $151. And crews removed the new straight arrow from the road. Well, that sounds to me like great material for a hit song. I now present to you the Ballad of Kai.
Well, it was early one Monday morning when Kai walked out the door. He bought a bucket of paint and a paintbrush from a store. Then he walked to a spot in the middle of the road. It was the place where the cars lined up and the traffic slowed. He took out his big old paintbrush and he drew a big white line. And he stopped and he admired his design. Well, he had painted a new lane, not too wide and not too narrow. And when he finished it up, he put a white traffic arrow. A new lane he had created, a lane for driving straight. So when he went to work, no more would he be late. But one day, when Kai was driving on his new improved commute, he got pulled over by a man wearing a police suit. Uh-oh. Hello, officer. What's the problem? I signaled and I'm not speeding. There ain't a single traffic law that I'm not heeding. The officer, he looked at Kai. You ain't speeding, you drive okay. But I'm gonna go ahead and give you a ticket anyway. You see, you painted a new lane to solve this traffic jam. We caught you in the act on a traffic cam. Son, you broke the law. What you did was out of line. You need to pay now a $151 fine. And then Kai said to the policeman, please don't ticket me. I got bills to pay. I don't make much money. The policeman, he said to Kai, I don't care if you are broke. You better cough up all that money. This ain't no joke. So Kai, he took the ticket and the fine he had to pay. And the tear fell from his eye as he drove away.
Okay, that was fun. Now back to the murder. Gina and I have one more murder song we'd like to share. The famous Ballad of Frankie and Johnny. You may have heard it before because everybody and their mother has recorded it, from Jimmy Rogers to Pete Seeger to Elvis to Bob Dylan to Louis Armstrong to Benny Goodman and so on. It's the number one murder ballad in the world, I think. I don't know, but I think it is. And it's based on a true story about a crime that happened in St. Louis in the 1890s. Yep, just like Stagger Lee. The two most famous murder ballads come from the same place and the same time. And why is that? It's because St. Louis in the 1890s was the fourth biggest city in the USA, and it had a big bustling black community and plenty of saloons and gambling dens and brothels, and murders and bar fights were not exactly rare, and music was everywhere, ragtime music. The greatest African-American ragtime musicians, and white ragtime musicians too, were converging in St. Louis at this time. So really, St. Louis was the perfect breeding ground for lurid, titillating murder music. And once a song caught on in St. Louis, like Frankie and Johnny did, and like Stagger Lee did, these songs sailed down the Mississippi and were disseminated around the country, eventually ending up on this podcast over 100 years later. Anyway, the story behind Frankie and Johnny is that in 1899 in St. Louis, Frankie Baker was a prostitute who shot and killed her pimp-slash-boyfriend, Alan Britt, who went by Albert. So it really should be Frankie and Albert. In fact, the earliest versions were indeed called Frankie and Albert, but at some point, somebody decided that Johnny had a better ring to it, and then everybody started singing it as Frankie and Johnny. Sorry, all you Alberts out there. Anyway, Albert was not just a pimp, but also a ragtime piano player. Yay. And he was playing for a dance at the Phoenix Hotel in St. Louis when Frankie stopped by and caught him in the hallway getting a little too friendly with another prostitute named Alice Pryor. Now, in the song, Alice Pryor's name is changed to Nellie Bly. I don't know why. Anyway, in real life, Frankie got into an argument with Albert at the Phoenix Hotel and then went home. When Albert came home in the early morning, they argued some more, and then Frankie shot him dead. And here's the song about it. Ready, Gina? Gina? Oh, yeah, she's not here. She already recorded it from Chicago. Roll it.
Frankie and Johnny were sweethearts. Oh, Lord, how they did love. Swore to be true to each other, as true as the stars above. He was her man, he wouldn't do her wrong. Well, Frankie went down to the corner just for a bucket of beer. She said to the old bartender, has my loving Johnny been here? He's my man, he wouldn't do me wrong. Well, I don't want to cause you no trouble, I ain't gonna tell you no lie. I saw your love about an hour ago with a gal named Nellie Bly. He's your man, and he's doing you wrong. Well, Frankie looked over the transom. She saw to her surprise, there on a cot sat Johnny, making love to Nellie Bly. He's my man, and he's doing me wrong. Well, Frankie drew back her kimono, and she took out a little 44. Well, Rudy toot toot three times, she shot right through that hardwood door. She shot her man, 'cause he was doing her wrong. He said, roll me over easy, roll me over slow, roll me over on my right side where that bullet ain't hurting me so. You shot your man, I was doing you wrong. She said, bring out them rubber tight horses, bring out the rubber tight hats. I'm taking this man to the graveyard, I ain't gonna bring him back. He's my man, and he done me wrong. Bring out 1,000 policemen, bring them round today. Lock me down in that dungeon cell, throw that doggone key away. I shot my man, he was doing me wrong. Well, Frankie, she said to the warden, what are they gonna do? The warden, he said to Frankie, it's the electric chair for you, 'cause you shot your man, but he was doing me wrong. Now this story has no moral, this story has no end, this story just goes to show you, well, there ain't no good in men. She shot her man, he was doing her wrong.
So that was the famous ballad of Frankie and Johnny. In the song, she gets the electric chair, but in real life, she was acquitted. Self-defense. She claimed that Albert was physically abusive and that she shot him because he pulled a knife on her. So unlike Stagger Lee, who was in jail while people were singing about him, Frankie was trying to live her life and people were singing about her, which must have been pretty weird. She seemed to have done okay, though, and she left St. Louis for Omaha and then Portland, Oregon, where she got out of prostitution and opened up a shoeshine parlor. She lived to see two movies come out that were based on the song that was based on her story. In 1935, the movie She Done 'Em Wrong came out, starring Mae West and Cary Grant. And in 1942, the movie Frankie and Johnny came out, starring Helen Morgan. Both times, Frankie Baker sued the movie studios, and she lost. That's about all I could find out about Frankie. I wonder how she felt about her story becoming such a big role in American folklore. I mean, her story went viral at just the right time so that she would be remembered forever. If you go to the Missouri State Capitol building, there's a mural by Thomas Hart Benton depicting major cultural figures from Missouri history, including Jesse James, Huckleberry Finn, I know he's not real, but you know, the Mormon leader and founder, Joseph Smith, and of course, Frankie is up there too, in all her glory, shooting her man because he done her wrong. She's become immortalized ever since she shot her man. And that's all I've got to say about Frankie and Johnny. Kate, honey, could you please roll the credits? Please? You know I wouldn't do you wrong. The Carolina Shout podcast is produced at the home of Ethan and Kate Euslin in Charlotte, North Carolina. Ethan plays the piano and talks, and Kate does the computer stuff. A big, gigantic thanks to Gina Marie for taking the podcast up several notches with her singing. Check out Gina's music on ginastream.com. And if you live in the Chicago area, you can see her live. She sings and also plays percussion with all sorts of bands. Jazz bands, rock bands, marching bands, concert bands, and rubber bands. Ha ha, just kidding. Not the rubber bands. Also, thanks to Kai from Lian Yungang, China. I actually heard that if you go to the Capitol building of Jiangsu province, there's a mural depicting famous Jiangsuians like Sun Tzu, who wrote The Art of War in the 5th century BC, and the Ming Dynasty painter and poet Wen Zhengming, and the former Chinese president Yan Jiakan. And along with those luminaries, you will also find a depiction of Kai painting a new lane on the road. Of course, this painting of a painting was painted by Kai himself, and he was fined another $151 for it. Very unfortunate. Thanks again for listening. In tempore syncopatus. Happy New Year.